Isaiah says that the ways of God are not our ways, and he says it like this, God speaking through the mouth of the prophet in Isaiah 55, 8 to 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That, in essence, explains everything. We think that he thinks the same way as we do, and we are terribly wrong. Take a look at Psalm 50, verse 21 sometime. You thought I was altogether like you, and you thought wrong, paraphrased. This causes everything from our being offended by what he says to us walking away altogether. We simply do not understand his ways. But if we would take just a little time studying how he's related to his people from Genesis to Revelation, we would see the High and Holy One as he really, really is, and be amazed, astonished, and marvel. We might even develop something that's sadly lacking in this 21st century, namely, fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. He's good, and he's altogether lovely, and his ways are past finding out. He is to be revered, honoured, feared and admired by those he calls his children. One thing we can be sure of is always just when he speaks and blameless when he judges. King David found this out when he sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered. Hear what he was moved to say when God sent another prophet, Nathan, to him to bring him to repentance. Psalm 51, 1-4. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, changing our minds, hearts and behaviour in that order. Romans 2, verse 4 in the Passion says, "Do the riches of his extraordinary kindness make you take him for granted and despise him? Haven't you experienced how kind and understanding he's been to you? Don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. Do you realise that all the wealth of his extravagant kindness is meant to melt your heart and lead you into repentance? Beloved, we must know and experience him as he is, the Holy One of Israel, high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple." Isaiah again. When we see him, we cannot be but like Job and repent in dust and ashes. If we haven't repented and kept on repenting every day of our lives, and by this I mean changing our view and understanding of him, I question whether we're making any spiritual growth at all. Our lives are meant to be those of continuous repentance as we acknowledge we aren't as bright as we thought we were, and that he is the all-knowing, all-seeing and all-sustaining one, and we magnify him and love his ways. How's it working out for you?